The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this. He said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Today's gospel shows us the beginning of the end. There was a time when people came to Jesus in large numbers, but now at this point in the gospel story, the tone of the gospel shows us that things have changed. Recall last week's gospel where Jesus told the Jewish crowds that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. And we recall that set off murmuring and arguing amongst them and a certain incredulity towards Jesus. There was a growing hostility towards this very, what we would call high Christology, reflected in the bread of life discourse. So much so that we know it will culminate in Jesus going to the cross. Thus begins the last act of the tragedy, the beginning of the end. It is circumstances like these, when the tides begin to turn against Jesus, that start to reveal the truth in the hearts of those who are around him. And in the circumstances described in John's gospel today, there were three different attitudes toward Jesus. First, there was an attitude of defection. Many of his disciples returned to their former ways of life and no longer accompanied our Lord, we are told. They simply walked away because of the challenge of understanding this teaching. Even the 12, it seems, were shaken. Jesus could probably see it in their eyes, but certainly knew it in their hearts. Some people didn't even try to understand. They saw that Jesus was a challenge to the authorities. Jesus was heading for disaster, and so they were getting out of there. They didn't want to go down with Jesus. They defected because they were fair-weather followers. They could have stuck by Jesus as long as his career was on that upward trajectory. But at that first foreshadowing of the cross, they left him. Others defected because they dodged the challenge that Jesus presented to their lives. Fundamentally, they had come to Jesus only to get something. So when it came to suffering for him and with him, having to give their lives to him, they quit. Those lukewarm followers never had any intention of going to the cross. We who seek to follow Jesus now must remember that. because in saying that we are his followers, there will always be a cross. In these times, when our culture begins to turn against Jesus and his church because of the difficult teachings, are we going to stand with him, or will we defect? When the shadow of the cross looms for you, will you simply leave him to avoid that suffering? Do you only come to our Lord because you want something from him? Is your participation in his holy church one of a consumer? Or is your heart prepared to give everything to him? Prepared to suffer for and with him? The second attitude towards Jesus in today's gospel is deterioration. Yes, the 12 were most certainly shaken. But as our gospel tells us, Jesus knew from the very beginning that there was one of those 12 who would betray him. Jesus must have seen in Judas a man who might have become a saint, but instead is synonymous with shame and treachery. And notice that Judas was not among those who merely drifted away. He did worse. He stayed. But he stayed as an enemy in the midst of Christ's church. Judas represents evil, hiding in plain sight. When we see those within the church that are enemies of the truth, teaching things opposite what the church teaches, that realization can cause us to deteriorate in our idealism, our enthusiasm, our loyalty. But we cannot allow our life with Jesus to grow smaller, to recede. We cannot allow our heart to shrink away because of evil within. Rather, we must expand our hearts in the love of God and grow in faith, regardless of the evil around us. And the final attitude shown in our gospel reading today was one of determination. We see this determination most especially in Peter's great confession, when he said, "There's no one else to go to." Jesus alone had the words of life, Peter said. He alone was the Holy One of God. Peter's loyalty was based on a personal relationship with Jesus, with his Messiah. There were many things Peter didn't understand. He was just as bewildered and uncertain as anyone else. He was working through this very complex faith in Jesus. And certainly when the kingdom of Jesus, which our Lord talked about often to his apostles, didn't seem to be coming to fruition as Peter imagined, when the human structure of this fledgling church seemed to be collapsing around them as people walked away, Peter remained focused on Jesus as his Messiah. There was no one else in Peter's mind. Peter had come to know Jesus so intimately in his heart that he would not leave him. He would fear, he would waver, he would be confused, but Peter would never leave his Savior. In our final analysis, Christianity is not a philosophy which we either accept or don't. Our faith is not a theory to which we give allegiance when times are good and turn our backs on when times are tough or when there's a possibility of suffering. Our Catholic faith comes down to a personal response to Jesus Christ. It is an allegiance, because our hearts are formed in a love of him. And if our hearts are formed in a love of him, that love will not allow us to do anything else it will not allow us to go to anyone else, although there are many voices in our culture shouting for our attention. And it is in times such as these, as described in the gospel today and in these very times in which we live, that reveal the truth in our hearts. What truth is revealed in your heart? Does your heart reveal an attitude towards Jesus and his church of defection and deterioration? Or does the truth in your heart give you an attitude of determination? If you are drifting away, if your faith is deteriorating to the point of defection because you don't understand certain things happening in the church, certain truths being taught, how do you respond? Are you puzzled or uncertain by some of her teachings, as was Peter? How do you respond to our Lord? Do you respond as Peter did? To whom else would I go? Because whether you have realized it in your life or not, there is quite simply no one else. You can try them out for a while, but you will see a shallowness, a nothingness. As Joshua said in our first reading, decide today whom you will serve. Will you serve the forces of Judas in our world today who, through defection and deterioration, start to draw you away from the Church of Christ? Or will you, with an attitude of great determination, respond as the people responded to Joshua, and they made their decision firm? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. With firm determination, decide today that you will continue to serve the Lord in his holy Catholic Church. Decide today to believe that only Jesus Christ has the words of eternal life. Decide today to serve the Lord in all that you do in your life. And he will most certainly bring your soul to that everlasting joy, that everlasting peace, that everlasting understanding of eternal life in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.